Okay, Jean called me late yesterday afternoon, and she was sick last week.
I'm so glad you're telling me about my daughter. Where is she?
Well, she was supposed to be gone.
She texted me. I didn't actually talk to her, but she said she was sick last week, so... She's out of town this week, and she forgot to get somebody to teach. So she said, "Can you do it last minute?" Can't say no. So, you know, we can get through this like we always do when I'm up here. That's the main thing.
Well, I did that last week.
I know.
I think she's supposed to be gone next week, too, though. Didn't she say, well, because originally she was supposed to be here last week, but she ended up being sick. But I think she said she was going to be gone this week and next week.
Well, she asked about the funeral. If anybody doesn't know, Jack Simpson passed away
Monday morning
early. Mm-hmm. And the funeral's Friday. And he'll be buried in Goldway, the gravesite. And she was hoping.
Yeah, Tuesday morning. I'm sorry, time has just
gone. I know. Anyway, she didn't think they'll be back by the funeral, but by the grave.
Well, that's a
side.
If
that's
not
drive. Just family
to the graveside.
Well, I had put on the deal that it would be in Goldway, so I'm sure it's not going to be just family will be there. But
well, that's where he's from, and
well, that's where Vera's buried.
Yeah, that's where Vera's buried.
Well, that's good.
And his mother's buried there, and
sure. So anyway, she plans on being at the graveside because she won't be able to be back for the funeral. Tippi, would you offer the blessing before we get started, please?
Gracious Father in heaven, we're grateful unto you for all the blessings of our life. We especially thank you for this time that we are gathered together, sisters in Christ, to study and meditate and learn from your word. We pray your blessings on the Simpson family, and we're thankful for Jack and for the life he lived before us. Be with us through this study, in Jesus' name. I'm sorry.
So glad I had a chance to know those people. They were wonderful. Okay, Jean told me we were on page 96 on the friend we haven't met.
Do we have an extra book here?
I am not seeing one here.
Well, are you going to make a copy?
I keep thinking Jean said she didn't have any more.
Yeah, we ordered them, so they're going to share.
If you get to come show what you want.
Okay, so in this chapter, let's see, we're talking about what do you communicate to strangers. And just briefly, y'all talked about don't talk to strangers. That's the first thing we tell our children. How it's different now with helping people than in Bible times. I'd rather not get involved. I'm sure y'all touched on all these things. And today we're on the friend we haven't met. And I'm just going to read this paragraph here briefly. Stranger is simply a friend we haven't met yet. What a waste of the originality of God to shun those from whom we differ. We will never grow if we only expose ourselves to the people the same as us. Sometimes we hesitate to reach out to the stranger for fear of helping someone who is not worthy. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:42, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee. Turn not thou away." So, so this is telling us to help strangers. I mean, that is an active thing God told us to do. It's not just, he didn't just put that there for no reason.
And you know, if we help someone who really is not worthy, but we don't know that, we are still getting a reward for trying to do what the Lord wants us to do.
That's just what I have here in my notes. We still have a part to do, okay? It's not our part to judge if they're worthy or not, okay? All we can do is our part, and that's all we're responsible for, okay? Because we have many commandments that are commanded to us to do something, and it's not contingent upon the other person at all. We are commanded to love our neighbors, to love our enemies, to help others, and you know, it's our part, not, and you know, if they're not worthy, well, they're going to have to answer to that.
I always think of the scripture that says his word will not return unto him void. You know, it's not our place to say, is this going to work or not? If we see something we think needs to be done, we should do it and then leave it to God.
Right. And not question beyond
whether you should do it or
shouldn't. Exactly. And we're usually better people for being the better person. That's a lesson that I've taught my kids forever. You know, somebody's got to be the bigger person. Whether it's your fault or not, you know what's right and wrong. Just do it. Yes, it hurts. You know, you've got kids at school that are so ugly sometimes. But you still have to do what's right. You can't react to the way you're treated. You need to act like God wants us to act always. Okay, let's continue. Jesus certainly didn't wait until we were worthy to help us. If a man asks our help, he is needy, whether his needs be a warm coat or a sense of dignity. As Job pointed out, it is easy to criticize another's predicament, but we should try to put ourselves in their place before we heap up words against them and shake our heads at them. And that's from Job 16:4. And another commandment, you know, don't judge a man till you've walked in his shoes. Is that a poem or is that a scripture? It's one of those things you've heard. It may not be in those exact words, but y'all know what I'm talking about.
Don't judge a person until you walked a mile in his shoes, and then what you said.
Yeah, there's a saying. Is that a scripture? Right, but there's
I think it's an old adage.
Is it?
An old adage, okay. Several years back, when hobos had a way of marking houses so that other hobos would know who would help and who wouldn't. Do you know what kind of mark your house would have? What kind of mark would God give your house? Although the worthy woman in Proverbs 31 got up before dawn and worked late into the night by candlelight to provide for her own, she also stretched out her hand to the needy. And of course, that's in Proverbs 31:20. So we have many examples of helping strangers. And we, at the same time, we can't compare ourselves to others. We're all different, and our energy level's different, our circumstances. So if I compare myself to Laura and how much she does or is what I can do, you know, we're always going to fail miserably. We just need to do what we can do, helping others and trying
that
to follow
these commandments. That kind of goes back to talent. How many talents because I think that helping is a talent. Mm-hmm. Some people are more talented in that way than others.
Mm-hmm. Very good. She was comparing that to the talents. You know, we all have talents, and some have more than others.
And it's not how much we do, how many times we help someone, things like that. It's a heart thing. It's a it's an attitude. It's how is your heart about that?
Right.
I mean, we can help people and not have a good heart.
Exactly.
You know, we're doing it because we're expected to, or we're doing it because somebody else is doing it, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we need to have the proper attitude.
Yes.
And you get the proper attitude by making yourself do things, you know.
And, you know, it's nobody wants to go out of their comfort zone, but later it talks about that. It's we, you know, it's easy to help someone who looks nice or is very friendly or that type of thing. But we need to push ourselves out of our comfort zone and help, you know, someone that, those that are truly in need of help, perhaps, that don't look so, you know, they can't take showers maybe because they don't have means or, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Here's one question I noticed. That's why we let people in there to use the shower that we're homeless and stuff, and then I put a stop to it because he doesn't have the sense to take my towel out of there, and I found out maybe 6 or 7 times that somebody else was using my towel after I tried to dry myself off with it. But is there a way around the towel problem to let people back in? How does that work?
I've only been carefully.
Well, unless you can get another towel, I'm not seeing a way.
We only have 3 towels in our entire apartment, so there is some issue there, but it would be nice if it at least got washed first. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, maybe I could bring you a towel just for your guest, and or two.
If you have a place to put them.
Yes.
That's a little scary in there, too.
If you could, you know, just set aside, other than that, I don't know what you would do, you know. That's, and too, when we help people like you, Chris, that's great, and I admire you for it, but don't feel bad about, this stranger took a shower and now I have dirty towel. Well, you may have to wait a few, you know, wait till your towel's clean again.
Well, no, he would leave it hanging back up where I had it, where I had used it to dry off me, and then I go to dry off, and I hadn't taken a shower since the night before, so why is my towel wet? Mm-hmm. And then I find out that somebody was in there, and I just dried off with the towel that they used without the communication being there.
On the plus side of that, if they showered, they were probably pretty clean, hopefully.
Right. Well, some people that have been let in there are sick. And
Yeah. That's something that you guys will have to work out. Like I said, I could get you another towel, different color maybe,
I'm wondering how to attach a towel where I can actually put a towel and actually reuse my towel without it being used. I'm really not real sure where or how to hang something out of the way in there that it would still dry.
Maybe I need to come look at your apartment. I could help you figure out some kind of system.
Well, you want to give me a ride back because I was planning on walking.
You
can see
we'll
what I mean.
We'll talk about this later, okay?
I can help horrible. You.
No, it's cold out there today. They said it's going to be a warm few days and then cold. Well, I guess this is
not cool. Okay.
How long is it going to last?
I think it's warm again this weekend. It's supposed to be in the low 80s, I think, or Sunday.
This up and down stuff wears me out, does it, y'all?
Mm-hmm. You also have to know who to help. I mean, if you don't know, you don't know whether you can help or not. I mean, of course, sometimes it just pops up. But.
Right. What did you say on the first part of that?
Well, we have to know.
Oh, yes. Yes. Sure, Chris, ask. You've got a lot of people here who aren't able to do what you do, but we can bring you towels.
Okay. So, I was wondering how to fix one off of the ceiling, but I'm not real sure how to get a ladder into that apartment.
Okay.
I don't know.
I bet Laura and I can help you figure something out there. So we'll.
I have cookbooks.
I'm sure.
They have cool gadgets these days. They have like a clothesline that attaches here, and then when you need it, you pull it across and hook it over here.
I don't know. I don't know how far the rumor mill's gone in here, but my husband has a 30-year bottle collection in there, and even stuff that he's picked off the roadside and brought inside of the apartment. So,
y'all need therapy. I can say that because my husband tells me I need therapy with stuff.
There's even in the hallway. There's boxes of bottles and some of this. There's stuff picked off the roadside. Like he'll stop and pick
one. He's recycling.
There's everything that's in there.
Okay, let's move on. Don't just ignore me. George Bernard Shaw, the essence of inhumanity is not to hate our fellow creatures, but to be indifferent to them. When the third teenager this week comes to my door selling candy, I may not be able to afford to buy any, but neither can I afford to treat him with rudeness or indifference. If a Christian cannot be counted on to take the time to be kind, who can? Kat, you want to read that little Emily Dickinson?
They may not need me, but they might. I'll let my head be just in sight. A smile as small as mine might be, precisely their necessity.
Okay, when I read this, I thought about when the Lord talked about being hot or cold or warm. It's better to be hot or cold instead of warm because, I mean, if you're indifferent, you're just nothing. At least if you get angry, you may, you know, well, you've helped the first two people, you know. Do you know what I'm saying as far as that? I don't know if that really fits, but that made me think of that. To just be indifferent is, you don't care. You have no care for or against, or you're just... But we need to always remember we're setting an example, whether it's good or whether it's bad in how we act. And if it's our neighbor coming to sell us candy or whatever, and they know you go to worship Sunday and Wednesday, and that's going to really catch their attention if you're cranky towards them or whatever.
We should never, ever not be kind to a kid, because you're making an impression one way or another. Now, I don't know how many bars of candy I've already bought, but if another one comes tomorrow, I'll grin and bear it and buy a bar of candy. Eat it and put it on.
We have any more comment on this right here? When you let the lady with one loaf of bread in front of you and your heaped up cart at the grocery store, when you let the lady with one loaf of bread in front of you and your heaped up cart at the grocery store, you may be starting a whole chain of kindness. Because you were nice to her, she will let another woman pull her car into the lane in front of her. Consequently, that woman will feel a little better and be a little more patient with her children, who in turn will be happier and less quarrelsome when their daddy comes home. And that daddy may be the plumber you call with a plea for help when your kitchen faucet suddenly decides it's old faithful and begins spurting water at the ceiling. That one little cup of water to a stranger may be the beginning of a lot more good than we realize. And Proverbs says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." And that's in Proverbs 19:17. So I'm sure we've all hopefully done our little acts of kindness like that in different ways. Do any of y'all have any other examples besides the grocery store line or letting someone
go? No, but I'm this woman was a needed plumber. I woke up about 2 nights ago and I heard water running. I thought the sprinkler that time. It was my wash machine had broken a hose. Flooded our whole utility room and a lot of the den. Mm-hmm. The guys have been there. This is the fourth day I get with heaters and fans blowing and heating and drying. So I need a little sympathy here.
Sorry, you didn't call us.
That plumber sending to my house because I have a commode stopped up and we cannot get it unstopped. And I've got company coming back into town.
Sometimes if you stick a coat hanger on it and it grabs like weird stuff. That
oh, we've done that. We've even gone outside to the sewer line. So.
Well, hopefully we've all been able to help someone in small ways like that. Hopefully someone's returned the favor to us.
That's happened to me at the grocery store. I mean, somebody let me in front of them, mm-hmm. and I've let people in front of me. So
I've done that several times. And usually you can tell when they've got one thing and they're just like, you're wondering, okay, are they going to pull out a gun in a minute because they're having to wait or whatever? go. But then, what if there's three people with one thing behind them? And you've got your hook. What do you do? Do you feel like, you know, if you have time, you can let them all go fine, but, you know, it depends on my time, too.
Sometimes express lane now, though.
Yeah. Sometimes I've been in a hurry myself, so I thought, okay, I'll let this person go, and the next person can let them go.
That's
you know, I mean, you know, you don't need to beat yourself up over not being able to help every single person. We have to use our discretion there, I guess.
While the ice cream is melting and going into the floor.
And it's a little irritating to go into the express lane when it says 20 items or less and there's this person with this great big basket called. And that happened not too long ago. And the woman, she apologized. She said, well, they sent me over here.
Yeah, they do that sometimes.
That was
the
Walmart where they send you from line to line and then send you to the check it yourself. or something.
Okay, woman's work is never done. A Chinese man studying the Christian religion once commented, I read about a man named Jesus Christ who went about doing good. I wonder why I'm so easily content with merely going about. As women, we can easily become so bogged down in endless details of daily living that we feel we're doing well if we just manage to hold our own against dust, dishes and diapers. Yet most of the outstanding examples of hospitality in the Bible were women. Phoebe is remembered to this day because she has been a succorer. Happy to say that word.
Succorer.
Of many. And we read about her in Romans 16:1. Okay, so we've heard that woman's work is never done, and that is so true. And when we even when we get out of diapers, I've found we are still just as busy. You know, when one thing leaves, you just pick up something else. And the bottom line is we make time for what's important. Mm-hmm. And we must make time to help others because in the end, that's what it's all about. Not our physical blessings we have here on earth and all the things that we have to take care of, they're going to go away anyway. Our influence and example to others, that can be everlasting. We just never know who we may be influencing, have an influence on. So I remember in elementary school, it was the Holland children, I think. Maddie, because she was Kaylee's age, and they were having problems with one of the girls at school, and this was like second or third grade little, and her mom said, well, since, you know, the person didn't like her, and they weren't getting along, and she had made them like, well, I think we might just have to have her over, you know, and I thought, wow, that's a good idea, because I didn't think like that, you know. I'm like, well, just stay away from them. There's plenty of other kids. And Amy was like, well, I think we just might have to have that person over. So that was a real eye-opener for me back then, you know, to just face the problem head on and take care of it.
I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said some man was going by and he was talking to someone else. I need to get to know that man better. I don't like him very well or something to mm-hmm. that. So he figured if he got to know him, he would find some qualities he could admire in him, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of this with me is just having to get over embarrassment, get over your, you know, your uncomfortableness with doing stuff like that. You know, don't you have to not worry what they think about you or what the next person thinks about what you're doing. You know, if you start thinking like that, you're never going to do anything. You just have to keep pushing that back and do it. And in the end, you feel so good about doing good that, you know, you don't even think about what you were worried about to start with. I feel like I'm talking in circles. Help me here. Y'all have any comments on that? What, y'all know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Well, we have a tendency, I think, to be introverts. Plus the fact that a woman has her own family to worry about, and you really have to practice looking beyond and looking after others as well as your own.
And like she was saying too, it's a heart thing. If you're, you know, you have to. Inside, you've got to be, it's got to be there to look for the opportunity, is what I'm saying. You know, that's not something you can necessarily plan for, entertaining a stranger or, but you know, just have that attitude, and when the opportunity arises, just try to do it before you think too much. That's my idea, just, you know, if I just do it and don't think about it, of course. I'm not talking about dangerous situations or anything, but I'm just talking about being nice in the grocery store line or something like that where other people are around and you might cringe about what they think. You know, what about the people behind them? What are they going to think about you letting them go first? We just have to get out of our comfort zone and do what's right because it's right, not because of... not worry about what other people are going to think. Yes, Laura.
I was going to say, I think we can learn a lot from the children on that. Because, you know, as Jim and I were talking about something not too long ago, where my dad lives, there's the lake. I've swam in the lake, you know, all my life. I grew up with skiing and everything. And, but it's when you have children and when you get older, you tend to look at things and you get more scared of different things. And you're quite, I'm like, nothing ever happened to me, but with my kids in there, I look at different things or whatever. But kids just, I mean, as an adult, you know, we put away things that the kids did in the foolishness. But kids are just so loving and kind to one at times. But, you know, if they do something wrong, they forget about it right away. But they're loving and kind to one another in a way that I think that's where we need to appreciate that. And that's how we need to be to other people, you know.
And so. God tells us that.
These you know, little children and some things.
Yes, we need to. Go back to our youth and be as little children in that sense.
They could be fighting 1 minute and hugging the next minute.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can, I can hit my sister, but you can her sister.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. We're talking about remembering women. Phoebe in Romans 16:1, the Shunammite in 2 Kings 4 was referred to as a great woman. Yet her fame rested in the fact that she had fed the stranger Elisha as he passed by her home and given him a place to spend the night. The godly widow in 1 Timothy 5:10 was described as one having lodged strangers. Okay. All right. So, to whom much is given, much is required. That's in Luke 12:48. If you own more than one change of clothes, one chair and a table, a couple of old blankets, and a few staples, such as a small bag of flour, some salt, several moldy potatoes, and a handful of beans, you have more than over 1 billion of your fellow citizens on this earth. But Christ warned us, to whom much is given, much is required. And I love that scripture. Every time I get tired or weary or whatever, I think, I have so much. You know, I should be glad that I have all these dishes to wash and clothes to wash and, you know, and...
Be glad you have a washing machine with the hose intact.
Because it breaks and you have to wag all those clothes to the laundromat for a few days. That's why.
Especially electricity.
Electricity, yes.
I mean, when it goes off, you know, we're lost.
Mm-hmm. Even in the stores, because computers these days, if their computer goes down, they have to close the store down. It's like,
I actually worry about our dependence on those kind of things. Nobody knows how to add and subtract to help you get out of the store. And just so many things to control mechanically.
Well, I have heard, I don't know where I heard it from, somebody making a speculation, maybe they read it, so it's, I was put out there that, you know, instead of bombing us or whatever, that they, that what's going to happen or is they're going to make it where it shuts down the computers in businesses and stuff. Where
it'll shut down everything.
Yes, everything, which is, you know, I guess electricity, water, everything that runs off computer, which these days is pretty much everything. And
well, you know, drones right now are controlled. Nobody's in them. If something goes wrong with the system, you're defenseless, you know.
So,
I understand in school they don't even teach children cursive writing anymore.
Mm-hmm. Don't teach anything else.
The way they're teaching addition and subtraction now, too, is hard to believe.
Well, I was in first grade the other day, and they just teach different these days. I mean, they use these little blocks to do tens and ones, and I might have been better at math if I had that. I don't know. I don't know if it's better or not, but it's definitely different. And I had to sit there and watch them for a while to figure out what they were doing, but I finally got it. We made it through the math. But change is good.
Depending on the school and what they teach, but some of the schools, like some of them in Ohio, there's one school system that plays with one elementary school that plays with different experimental forms of learning or whatever anybody thinks was a good idea. Mm-hmm. And my sister became the victim of it because they did creative spelling, and they didn't correct her on her spelling, mm-hmm. and it's sort of damaged her for the rest of the time.
That happened at kinder. They wanted them to just be creative and not get bogged down in spelling correctly. They wanted them to use better words like,
how it sounds to you.
Right.
Instead of saying just great, that they can spell, maybe use another word and not worry about the spelling.
What they did is they had a grant to use, it was 23 or 33 school systems. Schools were used as an experiment for that kind of learning to see if it would work, and it doesn't. It causes problems.
Yeah. Well, we always tend to go back to the basics, you know. At some point in time, we need the
basics.
Once
in a while, they talk about that, too,
you need
because
the basics.
They realize that their kids aren't coming out like they're...
Well, I think, too, with the schools, they've changed so much, parents can't... You know, used to your parents could help you, and now just when parents figure it out, they change the way they do things.
Thank goodness Eric is so smart because he doesn't come to us for help.
Well, there is help at the school, I know. They can get the help if they choose to. Mm-hmm. Teachers will. I always tell my kids, their parents, their grandparents, they want you to do well. You've got to just ask, which, you know, eventually they do, and it all works out. But
shorthand used to mess up everybody's spelling too, but now it's different. Because shorthand was used, the sound.
Well, we're just in different times now than Tippy and Carol used to be, and then even I'm in different times than my kids. And sometimes change is hard. They're always giving me trouble, you know, grief over computers and the phone. Okay. Much is to whom much is given, much is required. We need to remember we need to sacrifice something good in order for something better. We are not making the sacrifice over something that's indifferent. That's not really a sacrifice, is it? So, if we are helping people, back to the lesson, if we're helping people that are able to invite us over and help and return the favor, then, you know, that's not saying as much as inviting someone here who we know will never be able to take us out or have us over to their home or something like that, okay? So, making a sacrifice and truly helping others. As women, we have a marvelous opportunity to do good through our homes. If we use them only as monasteries, places to refurbish ourselves and our family, we are no better than the greedy rich men in Luke 12:15-21, who kept building larger barns so he could keep all he had for himself. Although the command to all is to all, women have a much greater opportunity to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and care for the sick. Perhaps it is the wiles of the devil, but it is so easy to think about a good deed such as being kind to strangers, agree with it wholeheartedly, mentally, and then go on our way feeling as good as we actually had done it. But God cuts through this cloak of false righteousness when he demands us that believing in a good thing is well and good, but that even the devils believe and tremble. And we read about that in James 2:19, of course. Somebody want to read this from James 2:15-17? It's right here on the page. Bonnie, you want to read that? Mm-hmm.
If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Okay. So, do we need to feel sorry for somebody, but we need to help them if we can, okay? Be aware of Christ, be aware of yourself. Emerson wrote, "The only true gift is a portion of thyself." It takes a lot of time and trouble and probably a change in our schedule and often even some money to get involved. Because our days are so crowded and so rushed, we sometimes feel compelled to build a wall around ourselves to keep from being totally absorbed. But Jesus said, he who would find himself must lose himself. And that's from Matthew 10:39. And consider the truth of a brief point. I sought my soul, but my soul I could not see. I sought my God, but my God eluded me. I sought my brother, and I found all three. The Christian must consciously work at tearing down the walls and separate himself from the needs of others. We must fight indifferences and pray for sensitivity to the problems of those around us. And we've kind of already talked about that, giving, you know, going out of your comfort zone and to help others and looking for the opportunity and, you know, just doing what we can because of our lifestyle. Us younger ones who are out and about all the time with kids and just doing things, we may have more opportunity than somebody like Miss Tippy or Miss Carol that just, you know, don't get out as often as they used to. So it's about having that attitude, having your heart in the right place to, if the need arises, doing what you can. and we won't read that poem. I was trying to get as far as we could here. So, doing your own thing. It's not easy to think of others in a world that stresses do your own thing and looking out for number one. But let's determine that because God is our Father, He will try to feel a kinship with His creatures everywhere, friend or stranger. Let's melt the barrier of coldness that separate us from those who we meet day by day and try to replace it with genuine concern for each other, letting the love of God shine through us. Okay, someone want to read this in John 3, 17 through 19? Pat, you want to read that?
But whoso has this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth.
Okay, and that's from 1 John 3, 17 through 19. Okay, and that concludes the chapter on what do you communicate to strangers. Do you have any comments? Looking at the discussion questions, if Jesus were here today giving the lesson in Matthew 25, 35 through 36, what other examples might he have included? That's where he says to, let's just go there. Matthew 25, 35 through 36. Close the naked and preach to the ones in jail.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.
Okay, what else these days and times can y'all think of anything we might add to that? That pretty much covers it all, I guess.
She's walking and somebody's going to give her a ride.
Yeah. I can actually put on here transportation.
Mm-hmm. So different.
Okay. Are we obliged to help every beggar we pass on the street? It's a question.
Well, you only if you can. Not every time there's a need that you can fulfill.
And if you help somebody, and for whatever reason, for instance, here's a congregation. People come here all the time. We've been burned a lot of times. These days, people make it, that's their job, is to go from church to church with their sad stories. And as sad as it is, it's truth to get money. Well, you know, long time ago, we didn't have the communications to find out these things or whatever. But when it came apparent that that's what some of these people were doing, you have to take a step back and look again. Because God tells us, there's always going to be poor people and hungry people. And that's not our business, to just hand out money to anybody. So we do have to be cautious. And
well, that makes it hard because you don't know if you turn somebody down, you might turn down the one that really needed it.
So
don't know what the answer is to that.
Well, and I think, you know, once again, that's a heart thing. If your heart's in the right place and you're doing everything, I mean, you obviously we can't spend our day. If we have errands to run, we can't stop and help, you know, every single person on the street. But, you know, if we do one good, if we do what we can, help one person that day, I don't think we need to necessarily feel bad about not being able to help the next four that we come across if we truly can't, you know. Yes, Bonnie.
Well, a friend said something that really stuck with me. And she didn't say it to me, it's something she said to someone else, but I was there. And it was a situation where someone came up wanting money for something. I don't remember the story. Not the best story I've ever heard by any, but she gave them some money. And her mother was also with us, and she said, after the person had left, I can't believe you gave that person money. And my friend's response is something that stuck with me. We do have to use our discretion. You don't want to, you know, if someone's obviously has a faulty story, you know, whatever. Use your discretion. But her answer to her mother stuck with me the most. She said, I'm not judged on what that person does with this money. I'm only accountable for what I do with my money. So maybe that person really needed money. Maybe they didn't. But I think it's still counted to her as a righteous thing to do, to give that money to help.
Right. Now, we've had people come in who smell like alcohol, or they smell like cigarettes, and obviously that's what they're spending their money on. Do we need to help them? Should we feel bad if we don't help them? You know, I'd have to hear their story. You know, one story, I may feel like, okay, all right, I may have the money, and here, take this. But the next time, I may not have any money on me, and it just may not, you know, because, our heart needs to be in the right place, and if we're trying to do what's right, I think God's going to understand that. And hopefully judge us
more on the other side, not too much. So much that I can't help them as, should I feel bad if I've given money to someone who maybe didn't deserve it in the end for whatever reason? Like I said, you're accountable for what you do with the money.
Exactly, and that's what we were saying at the beginning. We have a commandment to help others, the needy, the poor, and that's our part. We don't, you know, that's not saying worry about if they're worthy or anything. That's a whole other section. You know, that's another part. He tells us to help if we can, have compassion, entertain strangers, and, you know, that's our part to do. Whether they're deserving, on the other end, that doesn't matter. You know, that's not for us to judge.